Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back to another episode. So today we have with us Marian Wagner. And Marian is an income growth strategist for online service-based entrepreneurs. And in her career, Marian has specialized in helping online entrepreneurs create six-figure game plans without a large following on social media. So this is definitely going to be a conversation that you'll definitely want to take some notes on, because we've got a lot to unpack. And it really comes down to how we define success, or in today's conversation, how are we going to redefine success and create a life and business that we love on our own terms? So welcome, Marian.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel. I'm so excited.
Yes, I'm excited to just really dive into this, because before we hit record, we were just chatting and, you know, we always like to talk about the conversations that are really coming up and we're seeing that is current and relevant in the online space. But more importantly, you know, as entrepreneurs, that there's a lot of stuff that you don't see or hear about. That's the behind the scenes things. And I think in today's conversation, it will really be us kind of peeling back those layers, showing you some behind the scenes, realities and the realness of it, right? Because listen, it's not all kittens and rainbows and all the sunshines and all the things. And especially when we're looking from the inside out in social media, we're only seeing the highlight reels. We really don't know what's happening. And if you're on that fence thinking about taking the jump, or if you're sitting there thinking, man, I've already got some traction and some momentum going, but it's like, now what? Other people are already doing this. I don't know if I can sustain this. I don't even know if I have what it takes. Or maybe you're even questioning your abilities and the faith and belief in yourself, because you're saying, well, if they've already done it, then who am I to continue? And, you know, these are a lot of questions that pop in our heads that we may not see online. So don't think that what you're thinking or going through is just you. And we're here to shed some light on that as well. So Marian, I would love for you to share a little bit more about your works and how you got into it, really the backstory behind that, that led you into the works that you do today.
Yes, absolutely. So I'll give the clip notes here. So I was a school psychologist as my career about 14 years ago. And I started my first online business, not as a business, but as a hobby, because I had the summers off as a school psychologist. And I thought, well, I need to do something with myself. So I decided to start a blog. And I, for whatever reason, decided to do a style blog, which I laugh about today because I had no business doing a style blog. But I started doing it and posting consistently. Back then, in the OG blogging days, you had to post 4 to 5 times a week consistently and add good content. So I just failed forward. I had no idea what I was doing. And I posted consistently for about 1.5 years to about 4 people. I think I had 4 readers. And one of them was my dad. And I just started thinking, okay, there's got to be a smarter way to do this. Because at this time, I started seeing other people who were building businesses with their blogs. And I thought, if she can do it, I can do it. And I decided one day, I had, in the psychology world, we call it a lightning bolt moment, where I just thought, you know, I'm going to stop trying to do this success leaves clues approach and just create the blog that I want to read, honestly, and just be my quirky self and not try to create this image, but just be my own image. So I started doing that all the way, like full board. And it was insane how I went from the 4 readers to, in a few months, I started averaging about 250,000 page views a month. I had PR representation, started having like these dream collab partnerships with brands like Adidas, Wayfair, Maybelline. And it was so much fun. That was the difference, actually. It became fun because I wasn't trying to fit into this mold. I was just being myself and being me and not caring about the response or the feedback. And that was my first big lesson, I think, in the online business space. So But I do like to share that story because I did post for a year and a half consistently with no ROI. It was just me improving, putting in the reps, so to speak, and just learning who I needed to be. And then I started my second online business and reached six figures in that within 9 months. And then now this third business, it's my passion to help other women build income streams, passive and active, in the online space. And it's all about the income, creating choices and freedom in their life. So that's, and when I have two kids, I have an 11-year-old son named Cooper and a 1-year-old daughter named Sophia and a wonderful husband named Troy. There we go.
I love it. You unpacked it so succinctly, but so tangible too, right? I mean, the biggest thing, I'm jotting down some notes here. It's like, for me, I'm listening. I'm like, you did exactly what you had to do, right? So sometimes you have to put in those painstakingly, you're like, why am I doing this? It's just my dad and three other people. Like, why, right? And, but you did, you kept showing up. And we use that analogy again for the gym. It's like, you're not going to lose the weight over time. You're not going to get the results, you know, in this short burst of time. So it's like consistently showing up, putting in the reps, writing the blogs, producing a podcast or serving, whatever that is in your life. You just said, hey, this kind of sucks, but you know what? I'm enjoying it. I'm finding that freedom that just really is me being me. And so you gave yourself that permission. I love that. So I'm curious to know, what kind of was that turning point for you while you were writing that for the four people and then all of a sudden taking that step back and started just blogging on a whim that felt more in alignment with you? What was that turning point? Was it the way you were changing your content? Was it the way that you were posting less or more? What kind of built that up? Because as you said, you went from 4 readers to a 250,000. That's substantial.
I started this. I was driving home from my job as a school psych. And I thought, I have the weirdest, craziest stories happen every week at my job. And I want to do more storytelling. I love to write. And I thought, I'm just going to weave in. It doesn't fit the OG model of a style blog, but I gave myself that permission to no longer try to be the Atlantic Pacific or the big, you know, back then,
yeah,
style blog. And I thought, I'm going to start this Friday series called Moments of the Week and Casual Friday. So I would show a casual Friday type outfit. That was fun. And I would share my top 3 moments, stories from the week as a school psychologist. And it became then an anchor point, I think, for my readers to know every Friday that was going to be it. And they were funny and real life relatable stories.
I love that. And so you shifted it and created something that was more freeing instead of feeling like you had to fit into that box of what those big platforms were doing. And I think that that's definitely something to note, because going back to your mention about success leaves clues, we've all heard this. It's, you know, the biggest gurus out there are talking about this. And it's like, for you on the other side, whether you're just getting started or kind of stuck in a standstill point right here, it's like you kind of go back to it and say, well, who else is doing something similar that I can model for inspiration? Now, again, minding those listeners, do not go copy. You're just using this for inspiration. That if somebody else has done something, it's giving you proof that it's possible. But that's, I think, the message going into Success Leaves Clues, is that if they did it, you can do it. However, sometimes it's pressed upon in this online space that you need to go do exactly how they did it, because that's the proven model. That's the proven blueprint. Therefore, if you want success, go buy their program, go do their courses, get the blueprint, and you're going to be on your way to success, right? However you deem that, or however defined by that individual. I would love to hear your perspective on that, because taking that approach from the get-go to now removing that thought and narrative, giving yourself that permission to just be. What are some of the tips and strategies that you can give our listeners right now if they're in those 3 situations, getting started, or completely just stuck in, and I don't even know where to go?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I think being a newbie, being fresh and like you might think like, I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know what to do. It's actually a gift, to be honest with you. I know that sounds, you might be like rolling your eyes if you're listening to this because you're like, it just doesn't feel like a gift. But it is in a way because you aren't like, if you can put your blinders on and just ask yourself, number one, what is success to me? You don't have to define it just because someone else says that a Birkin bag and a private jet is top tier success. Maybe that's not your definition of success. Like you don't need to take someone else's ideals and put them as your own. But also, you can do things in a completely unique way because you are completely unique and you're not going to be, I guess, watered down by trying to emulate other people if you are just staying in your lane and doing you all the way. Like if you think about the emails in your inbox that you like to open up, like you open up these emails not because of the subject line, but because of who it's from, then chances are you open them up because you like that person's voice. You like how they tell stories or how they share ideas and tips. It's because that person is unique and is an individual. They're not trying to be Jenna Kutcher or I don't know who else. All the people out
Amy
there.
Porterfield, the next Tony Robbins, Jamie,
Yeah.
I mean, you name them, they're all at the top, right?
Yes. And if you look at their content now, number one, a lot of it's produced by other people. But if you compare their content now compared to when they were just getting started, the reason they grew was because they were fully in their lane and they knew who they are and they owned it and they just went like I want to don't want to say balls to the wall, but I will. Like they went all the way with it. And there's something to be said for that. And you talk about confidence on this podcast. And sometimes confidence is just saying, you know, I'm not going to try to be anyone else or try to become someone else. I'm just going to step into what feels authentic for me and release yourself from expectations or the outcome. Honestly.
That's such a great way to sum this up because, again, when you're on the inside looking out, so like meaning, what are your goals, wants, and desires? And if we're not crystal clear on that, and we start looking out through this perceived lens, we're going to start looking at those individuals and putting them on those pedestals per se, and then we start looking up to those individuals as our gurus, our guides, our mentors. And then when we start looking at their success grow and we compare it to where we're at today, whether again, we're just getting started or even years into it, because, you know, success and growth are never linear. But if we're putting these individuals on a said pedestal, that in a sense, we're putting all of our hopes and inspiration and aspirations into them continuing to pave that way. And before we hit record, you had brought something up that I think is definitely where I'm leading into this is how often do we put so much faith and belief into them or others, discounting and robbing our own abilities to believe in ourselves and our worth in our work, right? So that kind of ties into that summation of how are we defining success, but also how are we defining ourselves? Have we given ourselves permission to really explore the creativity, the inspiration, the ideas, all those things that make us unique and different? Or are we looking at it now as from that place of, well, if they did it, I have to copy or model almost identical and get their systems and the same gurus, and I should probably hire their photographer and their curator and all the things, right? So now you're thinking you're trying to be a second-rate version of that individual, but that has robbed you of your individuality and your uniqueness and your talents, your abilities, your gifts, and your skills. And that is what is going to make you unique and stand out. Just as what you said, Marianne, I took a whole different approach. I just wanted it to be fun. I wanted to share through my lens, through my storytelling, through the things that were happening. And how can we do that if we're living somebody else's life?
Yeah, absolutely. We were just talking about how I was on a coaching call right before this with a client, and we were having this discussion about this measurement of success and how, so she's a life coach and she went through the whole life coach school. And she said that when you graduate from, and I'm just sharing her story, that they tell you that everyone here has the ability to make six figures from the life coach school. And so she said, without even realizing it, I somehow got this idea that six figures meant success. And she did great. She made 80,000 last year. That's fantastic as a newer life coach. But she said she started noticing changes where she wasn't as happy. She was taking calls early in the morning or during dinner time, and she wasn't being as active in her community and all these different little things that she noticed. And she just realized, she's like, I'm not as happy as I was before. And why is that? So we just kind of dove into this conversation of, well, where did that idea come from? And is that truly your North Star? Is, I mean, that arbitrary six figures mark. It's just that someone came up with that because it's a nice little round number. And then some circles, they say seven figures now. Okay. But what does that mean? And how does your life change? And why is it that you can have both? You can have a very successful, abundantly financial business, but also maintain your values and this idea of what you want your life to look like on a day-to-day basis.
I love that you brought up the values, right? And I think that that is definitely something to really come back to at the core, because as we're in this journey, right, sometimes we're, you know, again, it's never linear. We're on these winding paths. We're constantly growing. We're evolving. There's new things. There's new technologies. There's new ways. There's new people. There's new this, all these things, right? And it's definitely something to take into consideration. But to your point with your client, it's like, yeah, where did that idea come from? And that's probably the first stopping point for anyone, because if we're just on autopilot and this becomes this narrative, we forget that, oh, that wasn't even my idea in the first place. So just that little question could throw a whole wrench in this whole like fast-paced life that we're trying to get to the end, which is six figures. Well, okay, let's take a step back. It used to be five figures, then it was six, and now seven is the new six. And it's like, gosh, it just keeps getting harder and more untangible. I don't even know if that's a word, but whatever. Unrelatable and unrealistic, because you're just over here like, man, I just barely made it to the five. And then you hit the six, you're like, I didn't even hit it yet. So as she's going through these ladder rungs of what is deemed success, there's also not those moments for her to stop and appreciate the trajectory and this progress and all the things that she has hit as those milestones. And one of the things I do want to talk about too, before we get to there, is celebrating these wins, right? Because as we're going through these rungs, we just think that the ladder never ends. It just keeps adding more rungs. Because in this online space, it's very hard to stand out. It's hard to hit the top of that ladder and feel like, wow, I made it. I mean, at that point, what is it, like 27 figures? I mean, it's an ongoing race. So peeling back the layers of getting clear on who defined that success for you, where did that idea come from, and what about your life? So I'm sure that in the insight that you provided, she took inventory of her life and was like, wow, yeah, I'm missing out on the simple pleasures and joys of what it truly is to live. And that, I think, is the biggest value add in my definition of what is success, because it's never been about an arbitrary figure, because that will always change. But it's about a life that you get to live. And one, just to add to that point, a quote that stands out is, if you are too busy making a living, you forget to live a life, something along that. And I was like, yeah, because all we do is work. I mean, yeah. Even if you're not an entrepreneur, you're at a job for 40 hours a week, the time spent preparing to get there, on the drives home, you're still thinking about it. So there's a lot of your time, mental bandwidth and energy that is consumed into this workspace. So how much time are we actually here to live? And I think that should be these mile markers and the things that are screaming from the rooftops, not about hitting these arbitrary figures, but hey, how much time did you have with your kids this week? How much time did you spend with your partner, your loved one? How much time did you take for yourself? Right? That is time that you'll never get back. So
yeah,
I love that you brought that up.
That's so true. You said that so beautifully. I feel like that's actually, and I don't want to get emotional, but that's actually a big reason why I do what I do. My mom died when I was young, so she didn't have a very long life. And my father also didn't live a super long life. And I almost have like this chip inside of me that's this always like, you don't know. And not to be, this isn't morbid. I don't come at it from a morbid perspective. It's more like, you don't know how much time you have. And at the end of the day, no one really is saying, I really wish I would have worked on that funnel more, or, you know, you're not. But that's the gift we have in the online space, is that there are systems and strategies where you can work smarter and create passive action while you're sleeping that will nurture and create streams of leads and clients. Like, those things are ready for us to implement. And so that's why my business is called Small Audience Big Income, because I want women to know you don't need to have this influencer following in order to grow a very life-changing income. You can actually do a lot with, you know, if you have 500 followers, or an aligned small audience is more powerful than just trying to get all the likes and all the followers above a certain number.
Right. And that's funny you brought that up, because I literally was just talking to one of my girlfriends this morning about that, and just sharing some of the, you know, I guess kind of the rejections and the disses that I've personally have encountered, because I didn't have the clout per se because of the numbers, like the followers and this and that. And I'd been rejected. I've been turned down. I've been turned away. And I've been even like, in a sense of like mocked or ridiculed, like, your message is not going to reach those people with that kind of numbers. I'm like, well, says who? Like,
right.
Where did you get this information from? I guess we're all reading the same textbook. I don't even know. But it just, but that, you know, for somebody who isn't so confident in themselves, would take that and be like, yeah, you're right. So maybe I am not worth it, or the value that I have isn't valuable, or you're right. Who's going to want to, you know, who's going to need my work or want my work? Right. And so I think that kind of parlays back into that, I guess, our limiting self-beliefs, right? Because that's the opposite of having self-confidence, is if we don't believe in our perceived value of worth and knowing who we are and whose we are, like, we are created with, on, and for a purpose, then that's ultimately giving the other people, or the world per se, the power to dictate and determine our value. And so if we're measuring our value to the world, we'll never be enough. We'll never make enough. We'll never make the impact or the imprint here according to those standards. But reeling it in and saying, you know, that's why I love your business title, small audience, big income, because you can make the biggest impact and the biggest value add in the smallest communities, because those are the people whose lives you're touching. And especially when we look at the online space, you're probably never going to ever meet the millions of followers that apparently need nowadays. And I think even as a creator or a contributor on the other side of that, and I've experienced this again, so my followers, not a huge following compared to other people, but I'm okay with that, because the reality is I'm actually having my own community and making an impact, where I think as creators of some capacity, we want to know that our work is meaningful and making an impact. So if you're only shooting for the stars and hitting those big numbers, you'll never know the true value of your work and the impact that it is making, because it's such a vast void. So that's something to definitely consider when you're thinking, wow, I got 5,500 followers on Instagram, but apparently this guy with 1.5 million told me I don't have enough. So therefore, I should probably stop posting because my people don't need it. Right. So it's kind of like that paradox. Like, how do you balance that? And it's just sometimes quieting those naysayers, but also internalizing, getting crystal clear. How do you define success? What is meaningful and fulfilling for you in this life? And right, those are the questions that lead to success. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this conversation. So this is definitely something that's near and dear to me. This is a season I'm in. I'm getting a little bit spicy on some of the stuff. The content that I'm creating is going to be like dished out extra spicy. That's how I like things. But I think that this is a conversation that is so needed, and especially in the online space, as those that are listening, or maybe those that are listening have experienced something like that and they're building businesses and they have been told the same thing as well. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. There's, I mean, I'm just, I can only speak from my own list of clients, and the ones that have the largest income streams coming in, which some of them are very impressive. They have some of the smaller audience sizes. They don't have the vanity metrics, but they might have a very mighty, strong, engaged email list. And your email list, I wonder if you would agree with this, is the most powerful thing that you can own. Mm-hmm. And people don't see how many people are on your email list or listen to your podcast or whatever it is. And it's really a matter of having the maturity to say, yeah, I don't care if Nancy knows how many people are on my email list because I'm doing this for me and my family. And yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's literally, I feel like you were sitting on this conversation I had this morning. All this stuff.
Creepy.
We just talked about the email list too. So I'll just share the funny story that I shared with her earlier today was, again, comes back to what you see as the vanity metric. So again, nobody knows who's on your email list, but email list is king because, again, if you're on social media or any sort of platform out there, you're borrowing somebody else. This is all borrowed real estate. So there's the news constantly always going back and forth that TikTok's going to get banned. So if you built your empire on there and you don't have another backup or diversified your business or content, so let's just say it does get banned, now you're out of a business. So it's good to diversify again, you know, on these different platforms, but the content and the real value is to lead people back into your email list, because the email list is a personal invitation, meaning somebody purposely thought of you, opted into your offer, submitted their name, submitted their email address, and said, hey, I'm willing to give you this because I believe in the value that you're sharing or the content that you have to offer. Now, on social media, you're just putting out value. Again, this is all vast. It's out there in the interwebs. Like, you don't know these people. And so when somebody comes in and opts into your email list, they're there until they choose to unsubscribe. And that's where the value is. So funny story with the metrics is I got invited to be a speaker on a speaking opportunity a couple of years back. And she reached out to me, sought me out, and basically said, you fit everything on this paper that we're looking for, everything that you do, blah, blah, blah. I said, great, this is awesome. So what's our next step? She goes, oh, forgot to ask, what is your email subscribers number? And I told her, which I was very proud of. And she's like, oh, well, unfortunately, it has to be at this number. And I was like, wait a minute, you just said I fit the bill, like everything except that. And you're going to deny me? I said, listen, I have a podcast. I have my email list. I have mass metrics of all of my social medias, not just the personal brand. I said, and it far exceeds that. And she's like, well, sorry, we can't accept you. So, okay. Left that conversation feeling a little bit irked because I'm thinking, man, somebody else is just going to suck that up and say, well, I wasn't enough. And therefore, there it is. Yeah. So I turned to my writing because I love writing. I'm a content creator. And I started writing and talked about rejection. And rejection being that redirection for something greater and better. So in that one simple post, and it was just a quote graphic, there wasn't anything on there, that one post had tripled the amount that she said that I needed on that read, and I gained new followers, and I had more people added to my email list, all because of how I flipped that script. So the reason I share that is because we never know what's happening behind the scenes. We only see the metrics. We only see the vanity, and we only see what those people want you to see on their highlight reels. So the realness of that is just owning who you are, the uniqueness about you, what separates you from the next person, and really fine tuning that and discovering what you bring to the world that nobody else can. And if you think it's weird or that you're different, listen, that's a great starting point because that means nobody else is doing what you're doing.
Yes. All this and snapping. Yes. Good job. I love it.
Oh my goodness. You can tell, like, wait. So those listening. They're like, well, how do you guys like figure out the topics and stuff? Listen, we chat for a few minutes before our calls, and it's just really about what is on your heart now? Like, what is something that you're really going through? What is your clients? What are they telling you? And so this conversation was really about the seasons that we're both in, and what are the chances that in the three, you know, between me and you, Marion, and my girlfriend this morning, that we're all talking about exactly the same thing. And so there's more of this. So if you're still listening, like, yeah, I don't know about that. We're validating that it's okay to take that step back and reassess you. What do you want to bring? So I love that you brought all that up. And so as you build these businesses and you're helping your clients, what are some of the other, I guess, sticking points as you're kind of going through? Because as we kind of called out the three different women, just getting started, those that are started, and those that are kind of at a standstill, maybe they're at a crossroads in their business. So what are some of those takeaways and strategies that you can really empower them to make that trajectory and move forward now that they've recognized that I don't live by other people's metrics and standards of success. I'm redefining that for myself. What are some of those things?
So, yes, it's we talked before the call about how even people that, quote, have successful, you know, multi-six-figure incomes coming in. And myself, I can say, like, when I would reach these benchmarks, I would look around and be like, okay, so that's it. Like, nothing else has changed. I don't feel any different. In fact, I feel tired. And it was because I was chasing this arbitrary goal and I wasn't chasing the vision, I guess. So one thing I just recommend doing is just naturally maybe schedule in once a month or once every couple of weeks, just little checkpoints to see, am I getting off track somewhere? And is there something that I'm developing that's really not healthy for me? If I'm unhappy about something, where am I feeling down or stuck? And, you know, is there a bad habit? So, for instance, a client that was drinking red wine during the week, and it kind of trickled into being a bigger habit. And all of a sudden she was sleeping a little bit more, feeling kind of cranky. And it was like, well, what happens if I change this? If I stop doing this, and what will happen if I don't? And kind of playing out those two scenarios, that kind of sliding door, Gwyneth Paltrow series, where you're like, okay, I can go this way or I can go this way. And whether that's taking on clients that aren't the right fit, maybe it's you're selling an offer that you don't feel aligned with anymore. That could be it too. So just doing little self-checks. I'm trying to think of, and then on the online space piece, it's normal to have that kind of comparison kick in. Okay. But it's so vital that you put on your blinders and truly remind yourself that there's not one way to build a business. There's actually unlimited ways to build a business. You don't, like, one of my mentors doesn't post on social media at all. And just does an email list and a book funnel. And that's the direction I'm going, because that to me is peaceful. It's to me, that's my idea of success. Is I want social media to be, after 14 years, I want social media to be something that's an appetizer. It's not my entree, because I know my personality. And I also know the personality of my ideal client. And she doesn't want to be creating reel nonstop every day. And that not to say that's a bad thing. It's just, again, defining success for you and what you want your day-to-day life to look like. In my business, I have a vision, and that's where I'm going to lean in. And yeah.
I love that you mentioned about social media. You're like, I don't want that to be my entree. Like, I feel you on this. And I think that, you know, partly, again, going back to the vanity metrics, it's like, I really value my life, the less that I'm on social media, because one, I don't consume on social media. And for me to post just to check the boxes, is that correct? Is that the right way? I don't know. But it's kind of, you know, I'm just in a season where I'm figuring out some of those things. I'm the person at the crossroads, right? And because I've created multiple businesses, multiple brands, and then some of that was just kind of like, I got lost in who I was at this point. Because it's like, wait a minute, I want to go back to the basics. I want to go back to the person that was lit by creativity and inspiration. There was a flood of it that I couldn't even keep up with it. And so going back through some of my old journals and notes was partly to validate that. And it's like, okay, so now where does that kind of context live? Where is a place that I could feel that I could show up every day, or even every week, or whatever the frequency is that is in best alignment with you, that you could find what worked for you and sustain that? And I think that that's the biggest thing is, like, again, going back to the gurus, if we're not crystal clear on who we are and who we're serving and the vision, and we're trying to model after the other people, we're going to get caught up in all that. And all we're going to do is just spin ourselves in circles and get misaligned and misdirection as well. But going back to that and just realizing, man, I just want to write. I want to share. This is my podcast, and my writing is my content, and I love it. I love it. So yeah, social media, it's important as like to share your works, but that's not my main platform for content creation.
Yeah. And if I can just add one thing, I'm not knocking social media. I know that might be.
I'm not at all.
Social media is a free, valuable tool that you can use. I mean, how lucky are we to have that at our disposal for free? But I will say there's something to be said. And I see a lot of people burning themselves out trying to create content consistently on social media, where they put a lot of thought, effort, and energy and heart into posts that typically, I mean, they expire pretty quickly. So I would just say, number one, make sure you're having a long form content platform, whether that's podcasting or creating a YouTube channel, like something that's legacy. Mm-hmm. And then you'll notice more and more on Instagram, this is the path I'm going. You'll see people using ManyChat right now with their Instagram posts. That is because they know that people are only seeing them for a little snapshot, and then they forget them. But if you can use ManyChat and they do a post and they'll say comment recipe for this recipe, then you're getting on their email list.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, again, I'm echoing that as well. I'm not knocking social media. I'm just sharing what is and isn't working for me in a place that is sustainable. And that is exactly the reason why, is because like back in the day, when I say it's back in the day, it's like when I was heavily into like my fitness and nutrition space, because I'm a former bodybuilder and fitness competitor. And that was the content, because I was posting that because it was more for me. Like I wanted that so I can go back as part of like, it's almost like a diary or a vlog or some sort of context that's for me. And I started realizing that people were liking and following and sharing and all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, okay, so I'm bringing other people along with this journey. But as I took a different turn into my journey, that content started to change. And then it wasn't receiving the same responses. And then I had two decisions. It's like, okay, great. So I can keep feeding the audience what they want, but then I'm starving myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to take a twofold, and I said, I'm just going to keep creating. I'm creating because it's something for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I started doing more writing. I published my book, another journal book as well, some blogs, some other things, but that you don't really see it on social media because those are the longer forms, but they have a different place where they live. So so this is all kind of pulling everything together, where it's not just what you see on social media, because I did the same thing. It's like, I felt, oh, I have to go post every single day and I have to do whatever it takes to check the boxes and all the algorithms. But I was really burning myself out because I wanted to share from the creative, inspirational side of it, not out of obligation and due diligence. And that's a difference because, yeah, we can post on social media, but people can also like sense that you just posted because you have to, not because you want to. And there's a difference in that content that you create as well. But yeah, the burnout is real. And so again, recognizing where you're at, what kind of content you can create, and showing up there consistently. And this podcast, for example, has been over almost 5 years of consistently showing up. And
congratulations. That is amazing.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about that the other day, but it was about, because I love it. I love the conversations. I love the connection. I love the community that we're building. I love that we could take these pieces and we talk about long form. So again, those listening, we're giving all kinds of marketing tips here as well. Taking this long form content and you spin it off into multiple pieces. So you're not having to go back to the drawing board every single day and think, oh, what do I have to create today? What can I post today? What can I share today? The content's already done. And now if you take one, so tip here, if you're taking this, just this podcast per se, and let's just say it's a 45-minute podcast, and you divvy it up into a newsletter, a blog post, send it to your email list, and create seven different captions, quotes, and posts for social media, and you're done. So the content creation aspect of it is really the hardest, the biggest time allotment is right here, just, you know, talking, having these conversations. But this doesn't feel like work. This feels like living. And that's the life that I'm trying to create more of.
Love it.
Yes. Oh my goodness. You've just been pouring out all kinds of just strategies and ways and like bringing this full circle and helping to see things differently as well. So your perspective is just on point. I love this. I love it. Yeah. Yes. So of course you got some incredible things that, you know, how people can work with you. And, you know, if you're that listener that's like, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, I have a small audience and I like big income.
So happy too.
So of course, how can people find more, learn more from you and more about you, and especially into that space as well? Because this is definitely speaking to a lot of souls that I know are listening to this as well.
Yeah. So I have the name of my company is Small Audience, Big Income. It's also the name of my book that's coming out here soon. And then that's also my Instagram that I just started. I had an Instagram with a larger following and I thought, you know, again, don't be afraid to pivot what feels good. If you feel like you're watering a dead plant and it no longer speaks to you, then take a deep breath and just take the leap. It always pays off. So I just started a new Instagram account, Small Audience, Big Income too, that I would love to connect with the people.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And so taking that pivot, not being afraid to jump ship if you have to, but it's more about what is in alignment with you and for you, and really the goals that you aspire to live and the vision that you're pursuing. So of course, we will put all of Marion's information in the show notes below, and just, you know, follow along, let her know if this episode resonates with her and, or with you. And you know, this is, again, we are creators. We're creating content. We're creating value in a way that we're hope that you receive it and you digest it. And it makes your life and your business a whole heck of a lot easier and more manageable as you get to redefine success on your own terms. So thank you so much, Marion.
Thank you, Rachel.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.